the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It is game day, very much like game day. Very much miss playoff basketball. Now it is game two tonight, Suns and Lakers. Welcome on in. We will hear from Frank Vogel, the head coach of the Lakers, some interesting comments that he made in my mind on playing playoff basketball and for the defending champs. It's a little bit of excuse making, I think. We'll also hear from Aaron Rodgers, some comments he made last night. I want to dive in on that. And I've got a thought or two on fits and landing spots because there's some news that happened this morning. We're guest free today because I just wanted to talk to you guys, right? I'm jammed up tomorrow. And the rest of the week, Phil's brother, Tim Mickelson, is going to be with us tomorrow. Andy Meyer is going to be with us tomorrow. Espo is going to be with us tomorrow. And then there's a bunch of other guests that Steve Burney is working on. So there you go on that front. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. Jeff Mishi and company, they do it upright. You know, great people there at Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. I'm pretty relaxed, as you can tell. I'm just in the, when it's playoff basketball, and I would say the same for hockey, but there's just a different vibe around the Suns here in town than when the Coyotes made it. You know, the Coyotes, for their period of time, the whiteout was a big deal. Everybody would wear white, go to the arena, and they'd lose. For the Suns, it's okay, they're up a game. Nothing really has changed in this series yet. When a team loses their home court advantage, that's when series change. And so tonight, when you have Suns Lakers in game number two, it's going to be a long day, a long night. I'm geeked up for it. Tonight, Jordan Hamm is going to be at the game covering it for us. Jordan Spurgeon is actually going to be in the crowd tonight doing some things for us on our social media channels. I'll be checking out the game and putting my own spin on it from here in Command Central tonight. I went on to game one on Sunday, and I think it's cool for the staff to experience something as good as this. I might go to L.A. for game three. Have not decided yet. A lot of it's going to depend on tonight. You have to pace yourself on these things, I found through the years of doing playoffs. And so we'll just play it by ear tonight. Chris Paul, you know, yesterday Monty Williams is not going to say, yeah, Chris is not going to play. And he's not going to say, yeah, he's definitely going to play. There's no reason to do that. The gamesmanship is in full force between the Suns and the Lakers. And it's as simple as this. I just didn't feel like LeBron pulled himself out with 5 minutes to go in the opening quarter. He just didn't look right. And will the Lakers come out and have a completely different look about them tonight? Game one's behind us. I'm just looking ahead to game two. And to that end, Frank Vogel, will hear from him here shortly. I think on the Suns' end, can DeAndre Ayton continue to play at the level that he did in game one? Anthony Davis didn't play well. Can Anthony Davis play well and DeAndre Ayton play well? You may say, well, that sounds kind of ridiculous. Look, I think both those guys are capable of getting a 20 and 10 type of night. Anthony Davis more so consistently, obviously, than Ayton, who's just feeling his way along. I didn't feel like they really challenged him that much. Drummond did go at him in game number one, but tonight in game two, what adjustments will be made, you know, on that front? And will LeBron be more active? That's probably the storyline of this series to me, because if he's not active, then is it saying he's not at 100%? He's just trying to fight his way through this. It's going to be pretty clear tonight. If he doesn't come out and play well and have a good game, then everybody's going to wonder if he's hurting or not. So here's some stuff from Frank Vogel. And he went down a path that I thought was really interesting. This was yesterday. He wanted to talk about, you know, the Lakers are in this space where they defended or they won their championship last September. And then they had to turn right back around and play a long, grueling regular season just like everybody else. Problem is they've got aging people on their team. And they have some parts that just aren't that experienced too. So Frank Vogel was actually asked about the mental health side of his team after the first game. And this really caught my eye. Here's some comments from Frank Vogel. Check them out.
No, I think it's very different than last year's challenge. I would say this season has been more challenging than last season. You know, even though the duration itself was hard for all of us in the bubble, you know, day to day it was sort of like being at camp where it was just basketball and we're all basketball junkies. So You know, aside from being away from our families for that long, you know, it was an opportunity to be locked in. But, you know, to be in the real world, so to speak, and, you know, to have all these restrictions, you know, the extra mask wearing, the extra testing, the, you know, the limitations on what you can do at your own practice facility and when you're on the road, and, you know, just all the protocols, I think have really worn a lot of us out. You know, I would say that's definitely the case for myself personally. And, but I'm sure it's, you know, I'm sure it's different than, you know, for everyone. So I'd say different challenges, but a lot more challenging this year from my perspective.
Okay. So this comes after you lose your first game. And if it's been that taxing on the head coach of the team, then you can imagine what the team has been going through. And look, we've all been going through this together, but I thought, you know, for game one of the playoffs, it's really not a factor and I'm just focused on the team and basketball, but instead a long deal on how it's been more challenging to the mental health of the Lakers as they are down a game in this series. The question about LeBron being 100% and fully healthy.
Yeah, I'm moving forward as if he's a healthy player, understanding there's going to be a play or two throughout the game, you know, where he doesn't move on it. Move on it very well, and you know that just comes with a guy playing through an injury. You know, ideal situation, he has another few weeks to, you know, fully put it behind him. But you know, he's moving pretty well. You know, in most situations, and you know, I approach the game like he's a healthy player, and just understand that there's going to be a handful of plays where it looks like it limits him.
Okay, so I don't know what the coach is saying there. I mean, really, I don't, because. Yeah, I approach it as he's healthy, but there's going to be a handful of plays where he's not. Well, if you're fully healthy, then you don't have a handful of plays. So to me, when you hear this, it says, yeah, he's not right, but we're just going to work through it. To that end, how do you defend Devin Booker if one of your guys isn't healthy enough or going out there and playing at 100%? This is on defending Devin Booker. And hang on a second. There it is. Hang on. Here we go.
We all have to be better, you know, on the ball. And, you know, you answered your own question that it's a five-man assignment. You know, we have coverages in place and, you know, KCP's as good as anybody. You know, sticking with a guy like Devin and, you know, but, you know, elite scorers, you have to bring help and, you know, there's a lot of creative ways that they get him involved. So it's a five-man job. You know, KCP did a good job, played 45 minutes. You know, so obviously his numbers are going to be more inflated than you would expect for a regular season game. But we still have to do a better job limiting his efficiency.
See, I think if you look at the Lakers, I'm trying to take this from the Lakers side of things. If they lose tonight, okay, you're down 0-2. Fans are going to love that here in Phoenix, but nothing's really changed. They just did what they're supposed to do. The pressure is on the Suns tonight more than it is the Lakers. You know, you'll say, well, eventually they do have to win. Yeah, eventually the Lakers do have to win a game here in order to win the series. I understand that. I get that. But if you're the Suns, you're just sitting there playing around with a team that is the defending champions with a player that isn't at 100%. If I'm going off what I just heard there from Frank Vogel, and will LeBron tonight come out and go right at Devin Booker and make him work on the defensive end of the floor? Will LeBron tonight go right after Chris Paul and make him work on the defensive end of the floor? Because that didn't happen much in game one. On the other side of the coin, will they push it inside more with Andre Drummond and Anthony Davis and go right after DeAndre Ayton and get him off the floor? Those are the type of adjustments that I would anticipate seeing tonight. You know, go after the players that are taking it to you on the other end of the floor to make them work defensively. If you're the Suns, you just keep doing. I don't really know from an adjustment standpoint because the star players of the Lakers didn't do a whole lot by their own standards. LeBron and Anthony Davis came and didn't do a whole lot. So what adjustments tonight will you see? Because it's a long series, will Monty go down his bench a little bit further? Will he put some players in position that we haven't seen? That usually happens in playoffs. It doesn't normally come down to just the same starting five that decide series. The longer series go, you need some X factors, some guys that come off the bench, some guys that do some things. Jay Crowder was quiet in game number one by his standards. And will we see more of Jay Crowder here in game number two? So tonight's chess match, it's like I was watching Denver and Portland last night and watching Milwaukee do their thing. Milwaukee is infinitely better than Miami. That series is over and Giannis is doing his thing and Miami's trying to bully him around. That's not going to work. And I watched the adjustments made by Denver last night against Portland. So game number two, you know, it's a toss up. There really hasn't been anything that's happened other than it's been 11 years since we had a playoff game. So everybody here in Phoenix is excited. And yes, it's the Lakers. And yes, they're up a game. And that's about it. That's about it. You know, take care of business here tonight on your home court. You got to do that if you're the Suns. You have to take care of business here on your home court. Aaron Rodgers is in the news cycle. You'll hear from him on the other side on a Tuesday, working our way towards tonight's Suns-Lakers game. I'm Brad Sussmat. There's a few things interesting today to me outside of Suns and Lakers, and one of them is Aaron Rodgers. The other is Antonio Brown. We'll get Antonio Brown out of the way because it's a smaller deal. So Fitz will be at the game tonight in all likelihood as one of the owners of the Suns. And they'll focus on Fitz, and there'll be the conversation about we don't know his future and all that stuff. And, you know, we're sitting here now coming up to June, and Larry still hasn't announced what he's doing one way or the other. It's his life. It's his career. I think we're starting to enter territory now where because he hasn't said I'm done, you have to assume that he is going to continue to work out. And that he's going to be there, and when injuries happen, which they do, Larry could be a guy that we get to November 1 and say, you know, this is the best landing spot for me to go out and win a championship. Because if he's going to return to the Arizona Cardinals, that would have already happened. Would have already happened. If he hasn't decided he's going to play, then, you know, I could be wrong on that front. But I think I have to look at it like he's had 5 months. If he hasn't figured it out by now, I'd be surprised by that. But Larry's very calculated. Today, Tampa Bay got Antonio Brown's signature done. He passed his physical today. I have maintained that Tampa Bay has been one of those teams that has kicked the tires on Larry Fitzgerald in case Antonio Brown did not pass his physical. That doesn't mean they wouldn't sign him. And now you have the situation with Julio Jones building in Atlanta where he is saying, I'm not coming back. So they're going to lose that star receiver and he's going to go land someplace. And if Larry does go down the path, as I believe he is, of I'm going to sit and see which spot fits me best and suits me best. And the Cardinals are like, yep, that's fine. We're going to draft a player. We're going to sign a free agent. We've got DeAndre Hopkins. We got to figure out Christian Kirk this year. We got to figure out Andy Isabella this year. Larry, love you. If there's an opportunity, we'd love to have you back. And we're sitting here in, again, November 1st, and the Cardinals are in contention, then it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me at all. Larry comes running out the tunnel with the number 11, and everybody goes crazy and all that stuff. However, if they're at 3-8, what is he coming back for exactly? A guy like Larry Fitzgerald, though, to a team that is competing to win, a team that is competing to make it to the Super Bowl, a team that gives him a chance, I have no problem with that on his part. I don't. I think I've seen some media around town that have just wanted to turn the Fitz watch into something every day just to put it in the show so they'll get a few more clicks on their daily show, and it's dumb. You don't need to do that. But I think with the Antonio Brown bit of news this morning, it is worth discussing for sure. All right, so Aaron Rodgers, let's get into this a little bit. And that is the story of what is exactly going on with him in Green Bay, because he spoke last night for the first time. Kenny Mayne left ESPN, and it's very clear Aaron Rodgers, Kenny Mayne have a very tight relationship. So Kenny, one of their front-facing talent, and he was on there talking about Kenny. That's fine. He was asked about the situation with Green Bay and talked a lot about culture. This was Aaron Rodgers. This was last night.
I played last year, so this is just kind of, I think, the spill out of all that. But look, man, it is about the people, and that's the most important thing. Green Bay has always been about the people, from Curly Lambeau, being owner and founder to the 60s with Lombardi and Bart Starr and all those incredible names, to the 90s teams with Coach Holmgren and Farvey and the Minister of Defense, to the run that we've been on. It's about the people.
Okay, so I agree with that. I agree with what he's saying. But I think to go out there and put it in the space of here's all the great names of Packer history, and it's about the players, this is very clear of I've got a general manager over here, and my Packer friends, and you guys know this, there's a lot of Packer people here in Arizona. My Packer people blame the media. They blame Adam Schefter by reporting this, which, you know, he's just doing his job. And now that he is speaking openly about this, Aaron Rodgers, this was right on by Adam Schefter. There's some that said, well, he's just making this stuff up. No. Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, is sitting there in a no-win situation, in my view. The guy's 37 years of age, Rodgers is. He just won his MVP for the third time. And so he's got all the cards, basically. He's not going to get run out.
Never been about the draft pick, picking Jordan. I love Jordan. He's a great kid. A lot of fun to work together. I love the coaching staff, love my teammates, you know, love the fan base in Green Bay. It's incredible, incredible 16 years. It's just kind of about a philosophy, you know, and maybe forgetting that it is about the people that make the thing go. It's about character. It's about culture. It's about doing things the right way.
Okay. Those are some arrows being slung right at the general manager's chair, or maybe some people within the front office along with the general manager. Thing is, last time I checked, GMs basically run the store. If the ownership group is saying you are not going to have a player bigger than the franchise itself, when Brett Favre left, if I remember correctly, Packer fans, there were a lot of you that were not happy with the organization by giving this kid Aaron Rodgers the shot. I remember Cheesehead fans telling me, you know, I'm not going to be a fan of the Packers. I'm definitely not going to be a fan of Brett Favre. I'm like, you're going to be a fan of the Packers. You're definitely going to be a fan of Aaron Rodgers. You're going to come back around. Fans get all wound up about teams when their star players leave. Aaron is trying to exercise his power and take the organization to task.
I think sometimes people forget what really makes an organization. And, you know, history is important. You know, legacy of so many people who've come before you. But the people, that's the most important thing. The people make an organization. People make a business. And sometimes that gets forgotten.
Okay, and I agree with a lot of what he has to say, but he is in a space where I'm looking at this from, if the general manager gets pushed out the door, and there's a date now that you have to look at, minicamp for Green Bay is next month. And so there's a hard day there of minicamp, and does Aaron Rodgers need to show up in June to show that he can throw a football? The answer is no. And he'll get fined. He'll get fined $15,000 a day. And fans won't like that. Are fans turning on Aaron Rodgers? I don't think so. But the organization clearly is in a space where if they buckle, here's the thing when players voice their opinions. When a player voices their opinion and the organization buckles, the organization takes a step back and they're the one that takes the hit. When Charles Barkley, I'll go all the way back to when Charles was with the Suns, and he said to Bob Costas famously in his backyard, I'm just a piece of meat. He was done here in Phoenix. Jerry had no choice but to trade him, whether fans like that or not. You cannot give in to the owners. You cannot do that. Ownership will win most every single time. If the Diamondbacks had hung on to Luis Gonzalez, if the Suns had held on to Steve Nash, they wouldn't have moved forward. Instead, they hung on to them a little too long, in Nash's case, in my opinion. In Gonzo's case, I thought it was the right move. It was hard. It was hard. I didn't like seeing either one of those guys go. Didn't like it. But it was the right move to make. And neither one was saying, get me out of here. But there comes a time when you have to move players on, and you're going to have players whose egos get in the way. And in this case, it certainly seems like Aaron Rodgers is in a spot where, you know, the general manager should have communicated better, was one of his quotes I wrote down from last night. GMs are not going to – there's a situation going on with the Cardinals right now that I'm working on. It's not me, but it's with a player. and it's not Fitz, but there's just some things going on behind the scenes with this player and their contract, as usual as it is, and you just got to work through it. And it's, you know, it's a pretty important player for them. And how do you massage those moments? So in the case of Aaron Rodgers, are you getting to a point with these comments last night where, you know, we're not going to resolve this, we're not going to get rid of the general manager, and we could get a king's ransom for Aaron Rodgers? It's really interesting that now that he spoke out in these terms last night and today in Green Bay, I have to believe it is all about Rodgers versus GM versus front office. I have to believe that that's the case there. And there's teams that will back up the truck and say, okay, we are the Las Vegas Raiders. We will back up the truck. We are the Denver Broncos. We will back up the truck. Shoot, there's been some Cardinal fans that have said, we will back up the truck. Sounds good. Makes for fun talk shows. So that's where we are with Aaron Rodgers today. All right, as mentioned, Suns-Lakers tonight. Jed Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Steve Burney produces great guests, and tomorrow we have several of them. And enjoy the game tonight, all right? We'll have plenty of content up on the website at sports360az.com. Have a great day.